The lie number eight is that I see my spouse for who they really are. In other words, I know my spouse like I know the back of my hand, you know? And I know her exactly to her inner core, who she is. And of course, that's a ridiculous assumption. And I think if anybody who stops to really think about it will realize that it is. There are some people that will actually say that, but it's not true. The only person that knows any of us as we really are is Jesus. The Lord is the only one who knows us in and out, every little idiosyncrasy. And you know why he knows that? Because he created us. And he's God. No one has a 100% accurate view of their spouse. In fact, most of the time, our view is inaccurate, and often it's very inaccurate. Only God has an accurate view. And these are the ways that we inaccurately distort our view of our spouse. One is magnification. We make mountains out of molehills when it comes to our spouses. We label them lazy, a couch potato, messy, you name it. The list can go on and on. And the descriptions are an ultra-magnification of some circumstance in time that we label as a core characteristic of our spouse, and they are a gross exaggeration. It's kind of like we come home from maybe we come home 2 days in a row and the house is messy. So automatically we label our spouse as lazy. I know my spouse. She's pretty lazy. She might clean the house 3 days out of the year, and 2 days she doesn't, so you're going to label her lazy. Now, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but that's what happens. I mean, she might be next door taking care of a sick neighbor, just working really, really hard, and you come home and the house is messy, and you're saying she's lazy when she's over there cleaning the other person's house. So, I mean, it's a magnification that we have, that we take a certain aspect or a certain circumstance in time. Our husband might fail to mow the grass for a week, so we say he's lazy. Or say that he goes to work on the car and he ends up ruining the car. Maybe he somehow puts a nail gun through something, or it puts a hole in the side of the block. And so we automatically name them, say, well, he's a dunce. You know, he's just a dunce. Everything he touches breaks. When we're trying to magnify an issue, we almost use it as a way to demean. So we magnify something, and we almost never magnify something they do well. I mean, you can over magnify it by taking a good characteristic of your spouse, like, you know, he might. I mean, this is like a crazy analogy, but you could say like a guy that goes in and robs a bank, and then on the way out, he gives a $20 bill to a homeless guy. You might say, well, he's such a nice guy. He's so giving, you know. It's a magnification of something he did nice when really, you know, he did something really despicable. So, and then the second way is minimization. In this instance, we take a molehill and we make it into a mountain. And most of the time, we take something less significant. And usually it's a spouse's quality that we do this with. Generally, we'll take something where she's a really caring and compassionate person and takes care of other people and, you know, is always ministering to others, and we'll minimize that. We'll say, well, that's not a big deal. You know, she's always gone. I mean, you know, she sticks her nose in other people's business. And we can do, there's so many ways that we can take something that is good and turn it into a fault, when actually it's someone being compassionate and caring and doing something in the service of others, which is what we're supposed to do according to what Christ says. And so we'll take something like that as really good, and we'll say, well, you know, that's not a big deal. But it can also be about a fault. We can minimize about a fault. You know, we could have a husband that, or a woman that is prone to fits of rage and anger, and like I talked about earlier, about throwing things or their alcohol. You know, a person could be an alcoholic, a raging alcoholic, comes home and drinks, you know, almost 2/3 of a case or a case of beer a night, and we can say, oh, well, he drinks a little, but
he's still a good husband. I mean, you're taking a problem that is a serious problem and you're saying it's nothing. Or you're taking a problem of anger where a husband is or a wife is throwing dishes and breaking things and you're making it out to be, oh, he gets a little upset sometimes. You're minimizing it when it's a bigger problem than what you're saying. But most of the time, that ain't what happens. Most of the time, it's a quality. A person might be a really good cook. A woman might be a really good cook, and her husband he takes it for granted, and he minimizes it. He says, oh, I can get a meal like that down at the restaurant. I mean, she's okay, but, she might one day have served the green beans too cold or something, and that might be the only time that's happened all year, and you'll say, well, she's not perfect. You know, she cooks good meals, but every once in a while she messes up, and you say, oh, how's that? And say, well, she served green beans cold one day last year. You know, so, I mean, it's real easy to minimize qualities when you're trying, especially looking for faults. And usually people that minimize the qualities of their spouse are always focused on the speck in their spouse's eye and not looking at, to be appreciative and thankful for the character qualities of their wife or husband and being appreciative of them. So they minimize those things. Number three way that this manifests itself is thinking that we know our spouse is it's polarization. This is when we make everything black and white, when many times it's a gray area. If our spouse is late once in a while, we say, you are always late, as well as other examples. There's lots of times that a person might be late, and so we say the thing like, oh, you're always late. So it's either black or white. They're either late or they're not late. When in reality, that's not the case. Even if they're late a lot, if they're not late all the time, it's gray area. It's a gray area. So we take and we polarize everything. We either make it positive or negative. It's never both. I mean, our spouses can have an issue that isn't real serious. It's just, every once in a while they fail on their timeliness. And I use late a lot because there's so many other issues besides that. And that's really not a super serious thing. But there's so many other things that can be issues that are maybe a problem, but it's kind of a gray area. It's kind of like if your spouse is spending time with his family more than he is or she is with you, I mean, I'm not talking about like his mother and father or not the core family, the parents and the children. And we can say, well, they're always over there, or that's wrong. And it's not wrong. It's not wrong them for want to visit their family. But it's a gray area that there needs to be a balance in. So, but we don't allow that balance to happen because we go ahead and we polarize it. We either make it a positive or a negative. It can't be both. But when it can be a gray area, it can be both. Another way is overgeneralization and assuming that a trait of our spouse is forever. Say your spouse has changed jobs twice in the last, 2 months or something. You can say, well, he's always going from job to job. Maybe he started a job and someone offered him something better, but we can take and we can overgeneralize, say, well, you hop job to job all the time. Or you can take, a person's spiritual maturity. And this is the worst thing you can do, one of the worst things you can do. You can take, say that your spouse is not further along in their walk with Christ as you are, maybe. You can really cause them a lot of harm by generalizing, well, you're never going to have a close relationship with God because of this or because of that. And so you're making a generalization that you don't know about. I'm glad that never was told to me, because if someone would have told me back when I was in my 20s that my relationship with Christ would never be better than it is at that particular moment, I would be very disappointed, because I'm closer to the Lord now than I ever was when I was in my 20s. And I don't know how I would have reacted if I would have was constantly hearing from Gloria, well, you're never going to be, you just don't put the effort in, or this or that. How are you going to encourage somebody to put the effort into their walk with Christ if all you're ever doing is is making generalizations about where they are in their spirituality. Or any other flaw we can find, we can say, well, you know, you're not good at taking care of the finances and you never will. You know, that's not necessarily true. There was a time that in our marriage that I wouldn't even do the finances because I was terrible at it. But now I handle the finances. And Gloria, she did it for many years, but now I do it. And it takes a lot of pressure off her. I don't know what the correct way is, whether the husband should take care of the finances or the wife. I personally feel now in my own life that it's the responsibility of the husband. But that doesn't mean if the wife's paying the bills that that's wrong either. It's just that it works for us because we each have strengths and weaknesses that we bring in. And sometimes something that is a weakness for one of us at one point in time may not be a weakness later on in life. And so it's really important that we don't generalize that. You know, a person can be distracted. They could be someone that has a hard time paying attention. I mean, you might be carrying a conversation with them, and next thing you know, they're staring off into space. And you can say, well, you're distracted because they did it one time, or you're always going to be that way. And people change. Thank God that people change. Thank God that He's changed me. And if two people are serving Christ, they should be changing. You know, there should be, you know, even there should be some type of growth in your life and in your marriage if you're both serving God the way you should. And now none of us get that perfect, but we should be striving for that. And our marriage should be important to us. And next to our walk with Christ, it should be something that we really nurture and cultivate. A sixth way is selective abstraction. That's where we focus on one trait of our spouse, usually a negative, and we forget all the others that are usually positive. We miss the forest for the trees because we only see what bothers us and not all the good. And that's, again, a similar theme to some of the other lies that I talked about, where we focus on the negatives and we don't see all the positives. It's real easy to miss a positive from our wife. Our wife might be somebody who always tries to be in a cheerful mood when we come home, and we may not always be that way, so we kind of ignore that positive, even though sometimes it may actually bring us out of our negative mood. I know that my wife sometimes can bring me from feeling depressed, and she can talk to me for a while, and I'll feel much better about certain things, and I won't be as worried. I say depressed, but it's more like a worry thing with me. And she can talk to me about stuff and make me feel better. And I need to remember and focus on those things and not look at the fact that sometimes she can be distracted or whatever. I mean, not that she does. I'm just using that as an example. But we're selective about what we notice about our spouses. And a lot of it depends on what we want to know, what we want to see. So often, we want to see negative for any particular reason, or we're always looking for a negative, so that's what we see, and we forget to look at the positive part. Another way is emotional reasoning. It's assuming that because we feel a certain way, that it reflects reality. For instance, if you feel in the moment that your spouse is a selfish jerk because of something they did, and you assume that is who they are, and that because you feel it that at the moment, when the truth is they are not really a selfish jerk. They just had a moment of insensitivity or oversight. I mean, your wife or your husband can say something insensitive. We're human beings. We make mistakes. Because they say something insensitive and it hurts at that moment, that doesn't mean that's who they are. I mean, we all make mistakes. I'm glad that my wife doesn't hold me accountable all the time when I say something insensitive. And we need to try to be proactive in recognizing that in ourselves. When we say something insensitive or we know that we said something to our spouse that hurts them, we should be immediate in apologizing. I mean, there should be no hesitation in that at all, because we don't want to give the impression that that's who we are, so we shouldn't let something like that stand. Sometimes and I'm not talking about necessarily words that hurt, that's a different category. I'm talking about, lots of times, I'm talking about a case of omission where we didn't say thank you or we didn't acknowledge something that they did that they worked hard at all day and we kind of just ignored it. So, you know, we take that reasoning that because that happened, that they're always going to be that way. They're not perfect. An example of this would be that, say, I forgot something and you're upset. So you forgot because you don't care about me. How many times have we heard that? Well, you didn't buy that stuff for me because you don't really care. You send somebody to the store and you say, okay, I want you to get, I'm going to go to the store and get some coffee, and I'm going to go get some sugar and some flour. Is there anything you want? And you say, okay, well, while you're out, get me a package of Ho-Hos. So, and I personally don't like Ho-Hos, but it could be, in my case, cupcakes. So your wife goes out, she buys the coffee, the flour, and the sugar, and the creamer, and everything, and gets back, and she forgot your cookies. And then you say something, well, you forgot the cookies because you don't care about me. You know, what I want doesn't matter. I mean, maybe she forgot the cookies or the Ho-Hos because she does care about you, you know? That stuff's kind of toxic anyway. I need another Ho-Ho or cupcake like I need a hole in the head. So, but I'll probably still eat some, you know. But that's not true at all. I mean, in a marriage, that's almost never true. It's never about not caring. I mean, there might be a situation where your marriage has gotten so bad where your wife won't consider what your needs or what you want. And it might be purposeful then to some extent, but usually it's because of a lot of other resentment and bitterness that's built up in the marriage because of other problems. But most of the time, that emotional reasoning is not true. We reason something in the emotion of being upset or angry about something that happened. And I mentioned this, and she just walked in the room, so I'll talk about it. And she can even tell you that there's been times like this where she's gone out to get something and she forgot to bring me back a treat. And that's why I mentioned this, because I can remember times in my life I said, well, you forgot that because you don't really care. You don't care that I like Oreos, you know? But, you know, you did get the peanut butter cookies because you like those. I mean, we can all think about circumstances where we might feel that way, but it's never true. It's just that they forgot, you know? So it's just one of those things that we have to be careful about what we think and what we allow our minds to feel, because so often our assumptions about our spouse are not true. They don't reflect reality, because I can think of many times in my own life, and Gloria can think of them also for herself, that we thought something was the case. I can remember one time, and she remembers this, and I'll talk about it. I was coming back from Japan. We had only been married for a couple of years, and it was the day after our anniversary, and we were, you know, I tried to get home by our anniversary. We couldn't make it home that early, so I flew into San Antonio, Texas late at night, and we flew in through a thunderstorm. I remember this very vividly, and I'm looking so forward to seeing her, and I hadn't seen her in 4 months, and I was... You know, I was really looking forward to being with my wife again. And so I show up at the airport and no one there. And she knew that I was coming in. You know, and so when she got there, you know, I was really upset. Instead of this big, exciting homecoming and embrace, I was angry. And I was so wrong. I was so wrong. I used emotional reasoning and I said, you were late because it didn't matter to you that I was coming home. When she wanted to see me every bit as bad as I wanted to see her, but I used that stupid emotional reasoning to try to justify how I felt. So I said, well, you didn't show up because you don't care. And I know that hurt her. And I think about that time, and that happened. Well, we've been married 45 years. That happened in 1975, so that was 42 years ago. And I still regret that to this day. And it was, you know, it was something we got past during that time. But I look back at that and I regret it. And I'm sure that we all have things in our marriage that we can look back on and say, you know, this happened a long time ago, but I really feel bad that it happened. And that's one of the things that I think about. And I can go on and on about stuff like that. There's a lot of things that happened in our marriage before we started having our problems that I can look back on and say, I shake my head and I'm ashamed of them. I'm ashamed of them. And some of it's because I used some of these characteristics of trying to explain to myself who my spouse really was when I didn't know who she was. She wasn't late because she didn't want to see me. She was late because the flight came in early. And the traffic was bad that night, and they just were late getting there. And plus, it was raining there. And so sometimes I think we don't think rationally. We use these things about who we think our spouse is, and we really don't. I mean, I think deep down sometimes we really do know they don't have that characteristic, but we apply it to them because we have to apply it to justify our anger or our bad reactions. So I think it's really important that we not do that. And we have this idea of what the author of this book calls delusional psychosis. And what it is that it goes in both directions. When we first meet our wife or our husband, we have this delusion about kind of like what George was talking about yesterday, where we think they're a knight in shining armor, or that they're the princess of the a kingdom or something. And then we have this idea that they're perfect, that everything is just so wonderful about them. And then when we were married for a while, we realized that we're wrong, that we were really wrong, so it's kind of a delusional psychosis, which simply means that we can't see reality. And every human being is prone to that type of distortion. But we avoid believing that lie, because we always go back to God's word. It's for everyone to look, not to think more highly of themselves than they are, but also like in Philippians 4:8, where it says, think on the positive things about your spouse. Don't assume the worst. Work at not being deceived into seeing things that are not there. Philippians 4:8, let's go there. I want to read that real quick. All right, Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So we can't be delusional about who our spouse is. We have to think about what is reality. And the reality is that we need to think about the things that Christ has put in our lives and the positive things. And we need to be quick to give positive credit. Focus on their good properties. Basically, the reference there for Philippians 4:8 is for us to focus on their qualities and not on the negatives. Because if we focus on negatives, we can focus on negatives all day long. But what we should do is our focus should be on the positives of our spouse. Romans 12:2 talks about renewing our minds, and we need to renew our minds to see reality and realize that nobody's Prince Charming, no one's Cinderella, but to know that that's okay. So practice and extend grace always, knowing that we are flawed ourselves. So I just wanted to make those points about delusional psychosis, because when we first marry meet our spouse and we're dating and before we're married, we think they're wonderful, and that's not a really good picture of reality. And later on, it goes in the opposite direction, and we think they're, Attila the Hun, and that's not reality either. And that's lie number 8.